Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. This is Deacon Louis Zemlick here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. Welcome. We're glad you're here. This is the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Christ, also known as Corpus Christi. And our guest, as planned, Bishop Bradley is here with us. Bishop, welcome.
Good morning, Deacon. Good morning to all of our listeners. A happy feast day to everyone.
And we're going to read the scripture readings today. And we also have Vicki Cessna here with us, as usual, the three of us reading the readings and discussing the readings of the day, the readings of the church throughout the world. So we're going to get right into the scripture readings, which is our first reading is from Exodus 24, 3 through 8. That's Exodus 24, 3 through 8. When Moses came to the people and related all the words and ordinances of the Lord, they all answered with one voice, "We will do everything that the Lord has told us." Moses then wrote down all the words of the Lord, and rising early the next day, he erected at the foot of the mountain an altar and 12 pillars for the 12 tribes of Israel. Then, having sent certain young men of the Israelites to offer holocausts and sacrifice young bulls as a peace offering to the Lord, Moses took half of the blood and put it in large bowls. The other half he splashed on the altar. Taking the book of the covenant, he read it aloud to the people, who answered, "All that the Lord has said, we will heed and do." Then he took the blood and sprinkled it on the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words of his." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our responsorial psalm from Psalm 116. I will take the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
I will take the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
How shall I make a return to the Lord for all the good he has done for me? The cup of salvation I will take up, and I will call upon the name of the Lord.
I will take the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. I am your servant, the son of your handmaid. You have loosed my bonds.
I will take the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
To you will I offer sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. My vows to the Lord I will pay in the presence of all his people.
I will take the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
Our second reading is from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 15. Brothers and sisters, when Christ came as high priest of the good things that have come to be, passing through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made by hands, that is, not belonging to this creation, he entered once for all into the sanctuary, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of a heifer's ashes can sanctify those who are defiled, so that their flesh is cleansed, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciousness from dead works to worship the living God? For this reason he is mediator of a new covenant, since a death has taken place for deliverance from transgressions under the first covenant, those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And our gospel reading today is taken from the Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 14th chapter. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a jar of water. Follow him. Wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, The teacher says, "Where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" Then he will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. Make the preparation for us there. The disciples then went off, entered the city, and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. While they were eating, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, and said, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed for many. Amen, I say to you, I shall not drink again the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So some beautiful readings. Bishop Bradley, any thoughts you have?
Well, it almost feels like here we are, the beginning of June, June 3rd, the very first Sunday in June. But it feels like we are in Holy Week, in
yes.
a sense,
uh-huh.
Because this gospel reading particularly, and the other readings that we've heard today, kind of take us back to those times in our liturgical cycle when we actually celebrate those moments. And Holy Thursday night, of course, is the evening when we celebrate the Last Supper and what took place at the Last Supper. So it, in a sense, it feels like we've kind of moved into a different cycle. But on the other hand, because Holy Thursday is such a special and solemn evening, we observe the institution of the Holy Eucharist, but we don't really get to celebrate it with the great kind of joy that we can on this feast. So, in a sense, I think that's perhaps part of the reason why the Church kind of gives us a special feast day to celebrate the Holy Eucharist, because it is so significant to us, particularly as Catholics, that we celebrate this great gift that Jesus provided for us. And we can celebrate it with great joy. In many places, there are wonderful traditions that today not only do people come to Mass, but there are special observances surrounding the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm.
In many places, there are Eucharistic processions
mm-hmm.
As people will process with the Holy Eucharist down the street or around the neighborhood or mm-hmm. through the part of the community in which the church is located. And part of that is because Jesus gave us the Eucharist not just for us to hoard, but it's a gift for all who can come to believe that he has made himself so available to us, and he wants to be with us. So it's a wonderful, wonderful feast for us to be able to celebrate as we begin this season, this great month of June. As we know, we've just celebrated, just completed the Easter season, which went on for 7 weeks, and we celebrated then the great feast of Pentecost.
Right.
Last week we celebrated the great solemnity of the Holy Trinity. And today we celebrate the solemnity of the body and blood of Christ. And then we'll be ready to return to ordinary time as we move back into that in our Sunday cycles as well as the weekday cycles. So it's kind of the last hurrah, in a sense, mm-hmm. as we begin this season of this month of June. The major feast will be completed. The great observance of the entire cycle of salvation history that we've celebrated throughout this year. And now we are ready to return to the ordinary time, which doesn't mean it's that that everything else is not ordinary. I mean, it's a part of our daily life, but there would be no more special feast for us to celebrate. So it's a special day for lots of reasons.
And it's very beautiful, too. You know, we see this, and it's almost this ramping up. You know, we kind of go through Easter, you know, and as you were saying, Bishop, you know, we have Pentecost, right, which is this great celebration, and then last week, and then this week, and then ordinary time, and then everybody thinks, well, we're in ordinary time. I can just take the next 3 months off until Christmas. But it's like, no, it's such a beautiful time for prayer. And also that we enjoy the Eucharist every day in the church,
sure.
And especially on Sundays, Saturday evenings and Sundays. So any thoughts, Vicki, that you have on the scriptures?
Well, I think that ordinary time is, it always makes me think of when I was teaching Sunday school, and we were teaching the liturgical calendar, and one of the kids goes, usual time, we're in usual time now. And there's nothing usual about ordinary time. It actually means to be ordered, right? I mean, it's okay. Not about being ordinary. It's actually extraordinary. But right. So I was just thinking about that when we were talking about ordinary time. It's kind of a misnomer.
And sometimes it's a beautiful time to show up at church, too, when it's not always driven necessarily almost by our culture, too, you know, where, oh, it's Christmas time, I guess I need to go to church. Oh, it's Easter time, I guess I need to go to church. The church has so much more to offer throughout the year, not only with reconciliation, but also your prayer life. You know, what's your prayer life like? You know, you get to a certain point in your life, working, and your children are growing, or they're growing up. Maybe the children need to receive their sacraments. Mm-hmm. So it's a good time to start thinking about that, you know, as we're, believe it or not, we're going to be at fall before you know it. It's another 2 or 3 months, and boom, we're going to be here.
Now, Deacon, we haven't even begun summer yet, so.
I know, but it goes by very quickly.
Yeah, it certainly does.
It goes by very quickly.
Today's gospel reading, it just is a little aside, you know, but as St. Mark is describing, how the apostles asked Jesus where should they go to get ready for the Passover meal, and Jesus gave them very specific instructions, and they ended up in what you know is we know as the upper room, the cenacle. Mm-hmm. And I had the great privilege of when I visited the Holy Land the last time that we got to not only visit the cenacle but to celebrate Mass.
Wow.
in that sacred space. So to be in that very room where we know Jesus gathered with the apostles for the Last Supper, and then where the apostles came back after Good Friday and hid out there until Jesus rose, and then stayed there in prayer until the Holy Spirit came upon them. What an awesome experience to be able to be in that very same space historically, and yet we know that, you know, Jesus continues to make himself really and truly present,
right,
in the Holy Eucharist wherever we're gathered, in any of our special upper rooms where our churches are, where we get to celebrate Mass each and every week. So it's a beautiful, but I couldn't help but recall that as the description in the gospel was taking place of where exactly to go to find that upper room where the Passover meal would be celebrated.
And I'm glad you mentioned that too, Bishop, because in the Catechism it talks about that once and for all Jesus imprints a historical event that still lasts until today. And I thought, wow, mm-hmm. how profound is that, right? Mm-hmm. So that is that, you know, from the upper room coming to our churches today.
Yes.
That same event. So it's been imprinted in history, yet it continues. Jesus is with us.
Sure.
So in case you're just joining us, this is the Epiphany radio program here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. And if you're interested in anything about the church or joining the church, you can go to the Diocese of Kalamazoo website, which is diokzoo.org. And we're visiting with Vicki Cessna, who is the Director of Communications here at the Diocese of Kalamazoo. So if you have any questions about communications with the church, or you want to get a good news newsletter mailed to you, or any type of communication, you can contact her. But we're also, of course, meeting with Bishop Paul Bradley, who is a bishop of Kalamazoo, the Kalamazoo Diocese, all of southwestern Michigan. And we're talking about the scriptures today. So, Bishop, if you can continue, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, there's one word that I think is important in each of the readings that we hear, and that's the word covenant. So we go back to, as we heard in the first reading from the book of Exodus, and of course that was already where God had established some kind of a covenant with his people. But Moses was the one who was the scribe. He was the one that God revealed the word that he wanted his people to hear. So we heard that beautiful passage from the book of Exodus where Moses gathered with all the people, wrote down all that the Lord had revealed to him, and you know, scripture scholars tell us that that was basically the commandments and the first instructions that God was giving to his people to help them to live a good and holy life. And interestingly, twice in that reading, the people's response when Moses gave them this beautiful word was, "We will do everything that the Lord has told us." They said the first time, and then second time, "All that the Lord has said, we will heed and do." So the beautiful response that should be our response naturally to what God has revealed to us, what God has given us the insights into how to live a good and holy life. And we should be ready and willing to say, "Thank you, we'll do this," because you're giving us the secrets to life everlasting. And yet, what is our real response, for the most part, it's not exactly that.
Right.
We might want to say that. That might be our intention, but the practice, as we look at our own lives, beginning, of course, always with ourselves, how faithful are we to living according to God's word consistently and always?
Amen. And we always have a lot of work to do on that as well. I also noticed in this too, as you were saying that, Bishop, is that, you know, all that he reads, right? He reads aloud to the people. I mean, it's a prefigurement of Mass. You know, not only is Moses a prefigurement of Jesus, but it's almost a prefigurement of the Mass as well, because he reads the word, and then all the people say, "We will do it," right? Like, people will respond to the gospel. Amen, right?
Sure.
And they respond to the readings. And then he sprinkles the people.
Right? Well, and see, that's the point there. That's where the covenant comes
yes.
in. You know, because the blood, as we heard in the reading, the blood of goats and bulls, that was the way that the people had to show that they wanted to be in union with God. It might sound a little strange to us, you know, and yet, so that formed the old covenant. I'll come back to that in a minute.
Sure.
The blood, goats and bulls were offered to God. And then, as we hear, half of the blood was poured over the altar that Moses had built. The other half was sprinkled on the people. So it was a blood covenant. And that was the strongest kind of covenant. It's kind of like in our day and time, we still say we want to be blood brothers.
Yes.
So we'll connect our very lives with each other's blood. It's intermingled. And that forms a bond. Well, that's what was happening with God and the people through Moses as the intermediary, whereas you were saying, kind of as the prefigurement of Jesus, the priest who was bringing the people to worship and to an understanding of how they were to live.
Yeah,
and it was formed from the covenant. Now, in the reading from Hebrews, though, we hear the author of the letter to the Hebrews take it one step further. And he quotes this passage from Exodus, and he says it was all well and good that the blood of goats and bulls and calves began that covenant, but that was not the real covenant. The real covenant, or the new covenant, I should say, came when Jesus shed his own blood for the salvation of the world. That's the new and lasting covenant. That's the new and everlasting covenant. It's not the blood of bulls and goats and calves. It's Jesus' blood, which, as we heard in the gospel, then he says, here, take this bread. This is my body. Take this wine. This is my blood poured out for you. So the Eucharist is what we sometimes say the unbloody sacrifice, or the unbloody version of the bloody sacrifice that Jesus would then go on to give on Good Friday, when he gave his very life. So they're all so intertwined with that word covenant, the bond, the relationship that God desperately wants us to enter into and to live according to.
Yeah, really beautiful, really beautiful. So, Vicki, do you have any thoughts on the scriptures or anything else? Anything that's going on in the diocese? We can always come back to the scriptures too, as well. So,
yeah, no, I was also struck by the covenant as a central theme throughout the different readings, and I think it's just such a nice reminder and lesson as it's evolved, as you hear from the first reading through the second, and then of course the gospel. And I was just thinking about covenant and how, you know, that's a lot of like our I don't want to say take, our understanding of marriage is a covenant, you know. And so you have to understand how beautiful that covenant is, but that Jesus is, and then you understand that's, you know, something that we believe is our goal in marriage, in the sacrament of marriage. So that was just racing through my head.
Absolutely. And of course, you know, something I heard this week too, as we were doing this training or teaching on the Holy Spirit, is where the priest, when he is, you know, during when he is saying the Eucharistic prayers, is breathing on those elements of bread and wine. Take this. And the Holy Spirit, you know, because the priest is acting persona in Christi, because this truly is Jesus, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ that we received at Holy Communion.
Yeah, and I think the consequence, though, is important. Jesus gave us the Eucharist for a purpose, and it's not just to feed ourselves. It's not just so that we can be spiritually well-nourished. It's to nourish us to do his work.
Amen.
And so, you know, while we focus today on the actual gift of the Eucharist and the preciousness of this gift and the fact that we believe that Jesus transforms that bread and wine into his very body and blood, given to us, really and truly present. But not just for us to revere and take great comfort in, or feel, okay, now my life is more completed, but it's to make us have the courage, the energy, to go forth and do the work that we're supposed to be doing.
Yes.
To give witness to his presence, to live faithfully according to the covenant. So that we can too say with the people from, you know, Exodus, we will do everything that the Lord has told us, and now we have the ability to do it because we have Jesus present within us.
Yes. So to really make use of that, you know, and of course that's what they always taught us, and when we would do our homilies, is they would always say at the end of your homily, point to the Eucharist, because after the Word, you go right into the liturgy of the Eucharist, and to really point that out to people. Listen, don't let this Eucharist go wasted. You know, you're receiving Jesus. Go out into the world and make it happen.
What are the works of mercy that we need to be doing? What are the works of charity that we are needing to do? And, you know, as Jesus has said elsewhere in the gospel, even if you just give a cup of cold water to someone who's thirsty in my name, you know, you're doing what we need to do. So we don't have to go, you know, to the mission lands in Africa. That'd be nice, but we can also go to the mission lands right here in our own community.
Amen.
How many of our people see no need or desire to come to Mass to receive this precious gift? How many people see no need to enter into a relationship with God at the most basic of levels? So somehow or another, we're supposed to be witnessing to the fact of not only how important this is, but how fulfilling that is, how that makes our lives richer
Amen.
Special.
Yes, so. Absolutely. Yeah. In case you're just joining us, we're visiting with Bishop Paul Bradley, the Bishop of Kalamazoo, and this is the Epiphany Radio program. So, Bishop, we just have a few more minutes left, about three more minutes. Anything in particular else on the scriptures or anything else you'd like to talk about?
Well, I think that very point of the need to be more focused on evangelization, not proselytizing, but evangelizing, just giving witness to the fact that our faith makes a difference in our lives, and that leads us always to doing for others, to living in a way that's charitable and as we were talking about earlier, respectful of people. We just clearly keep seeing all of the signs of a lack of just basic respect for one person to another. At the very least, that should be the hallmark of who we are as followers of Jesus, as Catholics who believe in the presence of Christ in the Eucharist. And so this is also the month, though, where we think about last month. We wanted to pay special tribute to all mothers this month. We are thinking about all of our fathers who, Father's Day in a couple of weeks, will be, reflections to our children. We hope always of God the Father, of God's love for his children. So we wish all of our fathers a very happy Father's Day, a little early, and that God will bless all of our families so that we can continue to be those places where our faith is nurtured and lived and we can be sent forth.
Absolutely. And so any final words on anything else that's going on in the diocese? I know you're doing a lot of confirmations and things like that, but and then give us your final blessing.
Yes. Well, I think we continue to celebrate all of the various sacraments. These are the days of special occasions, graduations, and First Communions, I think, are probably were celebrated in the last month. But just these very special events that take place at this time of year, we certainly want to wish very well all of those who are graduating and moving on to different stages in their life. May they never give up on the practice of their faith, because that's always the most basic thing that we can take with us throughout our lives, that gift of faith. And so we pray for all of those people who are moving forward in various ways and through their marriages and other life special moments in their lives, and we ask God to continue to shed his blessing upon us all. And so as we conclude our time together, we thank God for the gift of faith, for the gift of the Holy Eucharist, and we ask his blessing upon us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop Bradley. God bless you all.